Okay, so this morning I want to talk a little bit about victory in the Lord, but I want to talk a little bit about promised victory. Everything that God does for us as believers, there's a stipulation that goes along with it. What's one of the first stipulations that He gives us? You must what? What's the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord thy God, all right? And then the second is likened to the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. So when we're thinking about victory in our life in Christ, there's always going to be times, and we might doubt this, but in our mind we know this is true. There's always going to be times in our life in Christ that we're going to question, okay? And it's okay to question. God wants us to ask questions. That we're going to question the commandments and the promises that God gives unto us. So this is going to happen. And the reason that He likes us to ask questions is because every time, and here's what happens. If you don't ask questions, you don't what? You don't learn anything. So we have to ask. And when we don't ask and we ignore, so how many times have we been reading the truth of God's word, and I'm not talking about just throwing your Bible open and saying, okay, for today this is going to be my verse, because God, when God wants us to read and to study, He wants to show us what we need to be reading and studying, because He's going to give us something that pertains to our life, what He wants us to understand or learn. So when we begin to ignore that, the truth of God's word, that's the time that we become disobedient to the word, okay? And this disobedience is what God doesn't want. He wants us to always be obedient to His word. So we ask questions, but when we ask, then we've got to learn to listen to the answer. Amen? If we don't listen through the word of God, if we don't listen, then we're not willingly seeking after the promises and the commandments of God's word. So this is what God wants for us, because when we willingly seek after God, willingly seek after the things that He has in store for us in our life, then we're showing Him our faith. All right, God, who is what? Always faithful. We are not always faithful. We are unfaithful at many times in our life. So God wants to see our faith. So that means when you became a believer, it was through your obedience. I was obedient to the word of God. Therefore, I was able to find salvation, because by faith, believing in what Christ done for me on the cross, through the crucifixion, through the resurrection, I believed in that. Now I have that salvation. So this is one of the reasons we've got to learn. Why must I obey the word of God? First of all, if you're not obedient to the word of God, you're not going to heaven. Amen. Amen? That's right. It has to be our obedience to the word of God. Second of all, if you want to live a life according to God here upon this earth, then you've got to be what? Obedient to the word of God. It all comes down to how we are obedient. So we want to be accepted. God wants to accept us. He wants us to remain in that during our lifetime here upon this earth. So being obedient to His word is how we remain in our life in Christ here upon this earth. So let's go look at some scriptures. First one's going to be in John chapter 15. So if you'll turn with me there real quick. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we're going to read verses. Well, let's start with verse 9, but we're going to read verses 10 and 11. But let's start with verse 9. And here's what he says. He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. continue in that love. Continue in my love. Okay, so we accepted that love, that by the grace of God we're saved. Now Christ wants us to continue in that love. Don't stray away from it, but stay in it. And he says, if you keep my commandments, and this is how you continue in the love. He said, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Amen? If we don't keep his commandments, then we're not abiding in the love of Christ. So he says, even as I, so Christ has given you an example here, the example that he followed when he lived upon this earth. He said, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So you see the example Christ gave us? When I was here, I kept my Father's commandments. I stayed in the love of God. This is how I went through, endured everything that I endured here upon this earth. So he said, these things have I spoken unto you. Now listen to this, pay attention to this, because here's why he said, I'm telling you this. He said, I want your joy to remain full. The joy. Now, this is not a worldly joy. Worldly joy or an earthly joy is temporary. You can never get a fullness of that. It's going to come and it's going to go. So if you were happy for a while this morning and then you were sad and then happy and then sad, where was you at? In the world. God's joy, if you want his joy to remain full within you, it has to be through our obedience to his promises and commandments. So he said, that my joy might remain in you and that it might remain full. God wants our, if you go back into the Old Testament, we talked about this a little bit there. Boy, you guys that missed Thursday night Bible study, shame on you. We learn a lot from one another. But back in the Old Testament, you were anointed with oil. And what did David say? My cup, I was anointed with oil, and my cup what? Runneth over. This is what he's talking about here. Christ's joy within us and his joy remaining full. So when we look at this then, what is the significance? You know, most people say, well, I just don't understand why I have to read and study my Bible every day. What's the significance of it? If you don't know that, but we need to learn that. So we need to be, our obedience is that we will soon discover, as daily as we study and read the Word of God, we will soon discover that it is stronger than life itself. Amen? That there's nothing in life that can be any greater to us than the Word of God, which is Christ himself. Now, if it's stronger than life itself, then it's more powerful than what? Death. That's right. Christ said, I have the keys to death and hell. Amen? So it's stronger than death itself. And as we remain in this connection to him, now what we're going to do is, instead of drawing, you know, I hear people all the time, well, you know, they're a good saint of God, they're a good, and I draw from them. If you're drawing from man, you're not drawing nothing. I can tell you that. If you want to draw wisdom, if you want to draw knowledge, if you want to draw understanding, it's got to come from God. That's right. Amen. And so you can only draw from God. So this is what we have to learn in our life. It's through his power, it's through his grace, it's through his mercy. And when we begin to understand this in our life, then the one thing that'll begin to go away that torments every one of us every day of our life is worldly fear. Because Satan can take worldly fear and get us to do things that we thought we would never do. All because of worldly fear. So God wants us to discover, did you know that your salvation came with benefits? Okay? A lot of people that are saved has never discovered any of the benefits of their salvation. I tell people all the time, you have a gift. Well, I don't know. God never gave me a gift. Well, you've never discovered the benefits of your salvation then. Because God, he created us all for a reason. That's right. The gift you have, how many characteristics of that gift living within you? Nine. That's right. When the Holy Spirit came and indwelt within you at the moment you were saved, he brought nine of those gifts with him. And he said from there, you expand upon those gifts of that characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. So there should be nothing, listen to this, There should be nothing else in our life that excites us as much as the love of God.
Amen.
But yet, when people got up this morning, they weighed the difference between going to church and going to Walmart. And for some, Walmart excited them more, and that's where they went.
You need to go to church.
That's right. We need to be in church. Nothing should excite us more in our life than the Word of God.
Amen.
So John, let's read another verse there in John, the 15th chapter. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might remain full." And he said, "This is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So failing miserably is part of our outcome in life, isn't it? Because we have not loved one another the same way God has loved us. But God has made provisions for that failure. And he takes care of that in our life. And he says, let's just jump down to verse 14. And here's what he says. "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you to do." So how many of us can say we're truly a friend of God? Sure. Let's say we're a friend of God, even though we don't always do whatsoever I command you to do. But he's not going to befriend you because of that in our life. We're saved. We're always going to be secure in our salvation. And God is going to continue to take care of us. So that means God's desire is not to place restrictions on us in our life. If our life is restricted in the love of God, who done it?
Yeah.
That's right. I've done it myself. I placed limitations on myself and my life in God because God wants to give me an abundant life. He shows me this abundant life through his word. He means for me to follow after that abundant life as long as I am here. And ultimately in my life, obedience on our part means that we're always in and looking towards God's love. Because for God so loved the world. Say that with me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Victory. Promised victory in God. So we must remember that. I hear this so many times. Oh, nobody else has went through the things that I've went through. Huh? Yeah, sure. I can tell you one person that has went through more than you've ever went through. And that's who?
Jesus.
Christ. That's right. Christ experienced the same temptations, the same temptation of disobedience that will ever and more that we are going to experience. And the one thing that he did that he wants us to do, and we're striving for that. Amen. Say, I'm striving for this. I'm striving for this, that I can be tempted without sinning. Christ was tempted, but never sinned. We can do that.
But in a book I was reading one time, they said that the devil tempted Jesus three times. So they said, oh, well, how did that go?
Well, the devil what?
Tempted Jesus.
God allows Satan to put temptations in our life. But don't ever let me hear you say that the devil made me do it. Because God never gave him that power. God gave him the power to put temptation there, but God never gave him any power to make you do it. If you fell prey to temptation and you sinned, who's that on?
You.
That's right. That's on me. Because I made the choice to follow after my lustful desires, and eventually it became sin. So in our life in Christ, We need to experience the same thing Christ experienced, and that was going through temptation after temptation after temptation, but he never sinned. Why did Christ not sin? Because he followed the plan of God. And we know the plan of God. And the plan of God is God does not want us to sin. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants our relationship with him to become in such a manner that we don't want to look to sin, that we only want to look to him, that we only want to abide in his love, that we only want to edify the body of Christ. Amen? That's what we're here for. Let's go to Hebrews. We're not even going to get through the scriptures I had this morning in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to have to skip some of them. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4, starting with verse 14. Here's what it says. Seeing then that we have this great high priest, okay? So we're talking about Christ. We have this great high priest that we have that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast then our profession. Now our profession is the only profession that you have that has any stability to it at all is the profession that you are now a child of God. Amen. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. I've been born again. A lot of people get, they always leave that out. But when Christ talked to Nicodemus, the way he explained salvation to Nicodemus is he said, Nicodemus, you got to what? You got to be born again. Well, Nicodemus didn't understand that, but Christ explained it to him. But once we are born again, I am now a child of God. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. And I just get all kinds of, I hear that all the time. I'm just a sinner saved. If you're still a sinner, you weren't saved by grace. I'm a child of God because I was saved by grace. Don't classify me any longer as a sinner. Yes, I sin, but I'm not a sinner. I'm a child of God that was saved by grace. So when we look at this in our life, he said, let's read the rest of this. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, listen to this, he was tempted like as we are, okay? Even more so, yet without
sin.
That's right. He did not sin. So he said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. What does that mean to come boldly to the throne of grace? A lot of times when we know we've done wrong, and when we come to the throne of grace, it's with a whimper. Mm-hmm. Huh? God wants you, if you've done wrong, stand up and say, I've done wrong. Exactly. Okay?
Admit it.
That's right. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain his mercy and find that grace that he has given to us to help us in our time of need. That's where he wants us to be in our life. So he wants us to be obedient. But you know, when we're obedient, you know, sometimes that old worldly fear that Satan puts upon us, that we're afraid if we're always obedient to the word of God, the world around us is not going to like it. The world around us is going to hate it. True or false? True. The world around us is going to hate it. But does that mean that we're still not supposed to be bold in our salvation? And when I say be bold in our salvation, I'm not talking about standing toe-to-toe with somebody and arguing with them about the Word of God. That is not boldness in your salvation. You're following after Satan if you're doing that, because that's just causing a disruption, okay? But when you're bold in your salvation, that means you're letting that light shine forth. That God has given and put within you, you're letting the world around you see it, okay? It doesn't matter what it is. If God put it upon your heart, then you're letting that light shine. The Bible says, let your light so shine that others may what? See his good works, okay, within us. That's what we're doing. So this is what God wants us to do in our life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me read this scripture real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Therefore, pay attention to this. Therefore, hath no temptation taken you, but such is common unto man. So no one ever hear anybody say, I'm the only one that's ever went through this in my life. because he said all temptations are common. Common unto man. He said, such is common to man, but what? God is faithful. We're not very faithful, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. Okay, now don't stop there, because he didn't say he wasn't going to allow you to be tempted. He said, I'll not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye might be able to bear it. Okay, so God allows temptation, but he knows our limit. And you know, sometimes we pray to God and say, God, I've reached my limit. And God said, oh, no, you haven't yet. I know you got more in there. Huh? So he knows that limit. And he says that through that, he will make a way of escape. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to turn and run. If you study Ephesians chapter 6, what is Ephesians chapter 6? Anybody? Put on the whole armor of God. When you study the whole armor of God, what does it cover? The front only. That's right. If you turn and run, what's going to happen? You're going to get shot in the back. Okay? So this way of escape isn't turning and running. This way of escape is whatever opportunity that God wanted us to see through whatever situation it is that he allowed us to go through. And when we take that opportunity, that doesn't mean we're not still going to endure the temptation, but it means that through the temptation, we follow God's opportunity. Our joy is going to remain what? Full. That's where God wants it to be. So this is what he's talking about. He will make a way of escape. He will keep our joy full so that we might be able to bear that temptation. All right? But I don't want no temptation, Lord. But if you don't get any, your faith will not grow. You're not going to mature the way God wants you to. And your relationship with God is just going to be stagnant. Do you want a relationship? We have people sitting in churches all over the world today, some that probably were saved 50 years ago, and they're still sitting in the same place, in the same pew. You know, that's why they call it a pew. Huh? Same place. Never have grown in the Lord. Are they going to heaven? Sure, they're going to heaven. But God would have wanted much more for them in their life. God wants much more for us in our life. He wants us to be, he wants our joy to be so full. So let's get to the scripture that we should have been on. Okay, we're going to have to hurry. So I'm going to give you an example of promised victory. And we're going to go back in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 6. And I'm not going to read this whole story, but I want to give you an example of promised victory. So Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 2, 3, and 4, and I'm going to jump over and read a few verses, starting with verse 12. So here's what it said. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, okay, so this is the first thing that he says to us. Same thing he said to Joshua. He said, see, and the victory hadn't even come yet. It was days away. But he said, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho. All right? He promised Joshua. That was a promised victory. Now, and I'm sure the children of Israel were all standing back looking at that great big wall and saying, Lord, what do you mean? What does that wall represent to us? Every day we build walls between us and God. And we need that promised victory for them walls to come down. And we know that when we start building those walls, even though there's going to be consequences to those things, that we still have this promised victory, the same one that Joshua had, that he says, I have given unto thee through your salvation. I can do all things. That's right. Through Christ Jesus who gives me my strength. We ought to memorize that verse. And we ought to repeat it often through the day, especially when temptation comes. But he says, I'm going to give you all this. And he said, you're going to compass the city, all men of war. You're going to go around the city once, and you're going to do this every day, 6 days. And the priest shall bear before thee the ark of the trumpet, the ram. The seventh day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. Now, let's jump over to verse 12. And he said, Joshua rose up of a morning. He was excited. You know, if God told us that we were going to have victory, would we get up of a morning and be excited about claiming that victory? See, that's the first thing. If our joy's not full, we're not excited about serving the Lord. We have to be joyful in the Lord. We have to learn what that joy of the Lord truly is in our life. Because if we're not excited about serving the Lord, the wall's not going to come down. It's going to what? It's going to keep getting taller till eventually we think we ain't never going to get over that wall. So he said, Joshua rose up early in the morning. He took the priest, I'm not going to read down through all these, and down in verse 16 it says, and it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. So what does that mean? God wants us to express our salvation. Amen? Amen. He said, shout. He said, let everybody hear that I am your God and I am the one that's doing this. Not you. You can march around that city. You can look at that wall for days in and days out, and the wall's still going to be standing there. But when we claim that promised victory and we shout to the Lord, the wall's going to what? It's going to come down. That's right. Because he knows it was something that we wanted. It was something that we were excited about in our life. And he said, not only will the wall come down, but he said, the city shall be cursed, even it and all therein, to the Lord. And he said, the only one I'm saving is who? The woman in there that helped me. All right, Rahab. So God has a plan and a purpose for your life and my life. That plan and purpose has been, if you go to Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, write that down and go home. I'm not going to read them verses. But it tells you that God had a purpose and plan for our life even before Adam was ever created. Okay? And if he had a plan and a purpose for our life, he didn't change it midstream. He didn't say, well, I know you're going to sin, or I know you're going to do, so I'll change. No. God kept the same plan, the same purpose. It has never changed. And it was his intent, even before the foundation of the world, that we would accept his grace and his mercy, and we would carry out this plan, and that we would be victorious while carrying out this plan. He doesn't want to see any of us walking away, dragging our sword behind us in defeat. He wants us to be victorious. And half of us don't carry our sword. You know what a sword is? Huh? Sure. Half of us don't even carry. David said, I carry my sword where? Thy word hath I
hid in my heart.
That what?
I may not sin against thee.
That's right. That I might not sin against thee. He was talking to the Lord. So we have to learn what God's grace is. A timeless grace. You can't exhaust it, and I can't exhaust it, even though we try. Every time we grieve the Holy Spirit, we exhaust the grace of God, but we're not really exhausting it because it's timeless. It cannot be exhausted. Let me read you one more verse in John, then we're going to quit. In John chapter 1, verse 14. Y'all know what the beginning of John is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Okay, so let's go down to verse 14. And here's what he said. This is, we have to understand this, because this is our great example in our life. And he said, the Word, which the Word is Christ himself, he said, the Word was made flesh and it dwelt among us. Okay? And it said, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And so what we want to see, what is the truth? What is this truth of this victory promise? That this truth is Christ himself, because it says that this word that came and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, that it was full of God's grace. Number one, because when Christ came, he said, I came to fulfill the law. I took you out of the law into grace. So he said, full of grace and full of truth. This is what God wants for us in our life. So everything that God has in store for us, the work that he wants us to do, he wants it done his way. Not our own. Even though we try to do it our own way. And if we do it his way, we will always be victorious. So why sometimes do we feel like there's not victory in Christ in our life? Is because we're trying to serve God on our own. We're trying to do things our own way. And it's just not going to work. He gave us promises. He gave us commandments. He gave us detailed instruction for our life. Everything that we do in our life, there is a procedure that God wants us to follow. And if we're not studying his word, we're not following that. So we're not carrying out those promises and commandments the way that God wants us to do it in our life. So we have to work on that. We've got to build up on that, okay? Everything that we do. So when we don't, we're not moving forward any longer in the Lord. We're just sitting there in the pew. Saying, one of these days I'm going to go to heaven. But what about all the people we would like to go to heaven with us? They're not going to get saved just because you're sitting in the pew every Sunday morning. That's right. We have to want that. We have to be willing. We have to take that God said, I gave you this. We have to be excited. We have to get up like Joshua. Early in the morning, we have to get up. And we have to begin to see the glory of the Lord at work. Every day we should be able to see the glory of the Lord at work, not just in our life, but in the lives of all those around us. And if we're missing a day that we didn't see the glory of the Lord at work, what happened? Satan blinded us through our worldly fears. The glory of the Lord at work was still there. It never stopped. God doesn't stop. Never. It's still there. It's still working. And man, is it victorious. But you know, some days we don't feel very victorious, do we? God always wants us to feel that promised victory in our life. And just like the children of Israel that got to experience when they were marching around Jericho, we'll begin to experience that promised victory in our life as well. And it's a victory because it is this word. It is Christ that dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. It's a victory that is full of what? Grace and truth.
A lot of people don't see the light through you.
That's right. So we need that in our life. And this is what our life here on this earth is all about. Yes, it's about helping people. It's about this and it's about that. But if we're doing all that, and not showing people what salvation is, we're doing it in vain. We might be helping them here on earth, but we got to help them here on earth all the while showing them how to get to heaven. That's promised victory. And that promised victory isn't being preached enough today. It needs to be preached every day because that is the ultimate goal, is an eternal life with God. That's right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for every opportunity, Lord, that you've given to us to fellowship with you and with one another. And we would pray, Heavenly Father, that in everything that we do, we would allow your salvation to shine forth. Lord, we would point others to Christ. Lord, we would want others to see what promised victory is all about, Heavenly Father. And promised victory, Lord, is that hope of eternal life that you instill within us through your saving grace. So help us, Lord, to let our light shine, Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, to do those things that are pleasing unto thee, Heavenly Father. Help us to study your word more so that we might become more obedient, Lord, to the promises and the commandments of your word, Heavenly Father. Lord, so that we might always be found faithful servants, Heavenly Father. Lord, so that each and every one around us will see and get a glimpse of that joy, Heavenly Father, that fullness of joy that you've given to us, that fullness of joy that remains in our life because of you, Heavenly Father. And we just thank you and praise you for that today, Lord, in our life. We would just pray today, Heavenly Father, if there's one here that doesn't have that fullness of joy, Lord, if there's one here that has never accepted that joy, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would touch upon their heart, Heavenly Father, Lord, this would be the day that we would get that in our life, Heavenly Father, so that we might show others truly what your saving grace is all about. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
All right, what do we have this morning?
Number 370.
370. If you'll stand and turn to 370. If you're here this morning and have a need or a burden, we certainly invite you to come and share that with the Lord. Seated for a moment. If I could have a couple volunteers, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning.
It's not supper time.
Mm-hmm.
It's lunch time.
Pass those out, please. I'm going to take my scripture this morning from 1 Corinthians, and I'll read you just a few verses while they're passing that out. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it says, starting with verse 28, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup in that manner." Let's read verses 31 and 32 and 33. And here's what it says. "For if we would judge ourselves..." So, you know, when you guys got up this morning and looked in the mirror, what'd you do? Did you judge yourself? Did you judge yourself when you looked in the mirror? So, God wants it. This is spiritually now. "If we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged, because we wouldn't be doing anything for other people to judge us by. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord." So there's another reason we don't do it. We don't like that chastening of the Lord. "That we should not be condemned with the world." This is why God chastens us. When you was growing up and your mother and dad took a hickory stick or a belt or whatever, they said what? "This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." Did anybody believe that? But today you know that it was true. So he said that we should not be condemned with the world. "Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, then tarry one for another." So that's what I want you to do this morning, is look inside. Just like you're looking into that spiritual mirror with God, I want you to look in there, examine yourself, judge yourself.
Come, Sissy Poo.
And we do this so that God can chasten us, so that we'll not be condemned. So if you'll stand with me this morning. Just set it on top. Okay. Here. Do you have an empty cup? Just pour that in some of the other cups. There you go. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, here's what it said. "For I have received of the Lord, which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he said, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Debbie, would you like to lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with thanksgiving that we could be here today. We just give you praise, honor, and glory, Lord, for the words that you gave to our minister to give to us today, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your blessings, your miracles, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do and everything we say will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, if you'll get your papers. Do the doxology. Debbie?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son,
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.